Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee, and co-host of the program, Bruce Miller, editor of the Sioux City Journal and a longtime entertainment reporter. And you're a little bit like Father Christmas.
Silver bells, silver bells. It is Christmas time on television, even though we haven't gotten through Thanksgiving and Halloween is like hanging there. Hallmark starts early. They also do Christmas in July, but now is a big kind of push for them to get some of these shows out there because you can watch Christmas movies every night of the year until Christmas and then even after. Hallmark has launched a new channel. It's a streaming channel called Hallmark Plus. And so they needed new content for that. So they have been rolling out just a ton of stuff. Interestingly, they've also kind of moved away from doing strictly movies. They have a mini series in the mix. They have a game show in the mix. They have a kind of a home help show where they can help you decorate for the holidays. So they've got a lot of variety, I guess, in this new plus thing. Of course, you're also paying for it, so there you go. But you get a chance to see some of those old films that you might have loved, and you get a chance to see their kind of standard bearers. I did not realize, I'm sorry I'm this stupid, that there's like a repertory company of actors who appear in a lot of these films. Each year, it's likely they will have 4 or 5 movies on Hallmark. Now that's, you know, could you imagine Tom Cruise saying, I want to do 4 movies this year? You think he's crazy. But with the Hallmark people, you know, it's the way we do business.
Yeah. I mean, you almost get that with Tom Cruise, with just the never ending cycle of Mission Impossible movies.
Impossible that never ends.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah. And they do have a popularity kind of system, because there are some that you see more than others. Lacey Chabert, if you remember her from Party of Five, she was a little girl on that, is the most popular Hallmark movie performer. And she got this new kind of let's help plan a party show called Celebrations. But she loves it. She thinks it's great fun, and it fits with her personal beliefs. In other words, she wants goodness and light in the world. She doesn't want to have to do, you know, killers or, you know, murdering moms or things like that. She's very, you know, open about it. It's not the kind of movies that other people make, but it's the kind of movies I like to make. And the audience loves her. They think she's one of the greatest things ever. Candace Cameron Bure,
right,
who used to be on Full House, she was another kind of contender for the crown, but then she's moved over to other channels. So she's not really with Hallmark anymore. Her movies still show there, but she isn't the number one. It's easily Lacey Chabert. On the men's side, Andrew Walker is king of the walk. He has more than 30 Hallmark movies to his name. And he is in something called, well, it was called the new one is Three Wiser Men and a Boy. And it's based off Three Wise Men and a Boy, which was based off of Three Men and a Baby. So it's a way of putting three kind of inept guys in charge of a kid. And in this one, in the new one that's coming up this year, Three Wiser Men and a Boy, they have to help a school put on a Christmas program. And they know nothing about it. And it's a ripoff of How the Grinch Stole Christmas, because they couldn't get the rights. So it's called like the Grump, you know, stopped the holidays, or they have a goopy name for it. But Andrew is in there as one of them. And also Tyler Hines. Tyler Hines is like now one of the big comers in Hallmark movies. He has 5 coming out this year alone. I mean, just like with the next month, he's in a thing called The Groomsman. And this is a 3-part film thing where 3 friends are groomsmen at their friend's wedding. So one, it's about each of the relationships. And then they are all there for each other. And so that's three of Tyler's there. Then he has the three wiser men and a baby, and then, or boy. And then he also has the big Kansas City Chiefs movie, which is the one that people have been talking about the most this year, because is it a place where we see the Kelseys? Huh. Big question. And that's, you know, will Travis be in this? And I think it's a slam dunk he will.
Travis is, I mean, his profile is at an all-time high. I mean, he was already on a trajectory to be a Pro Football Hall of Fame tight end, and then you add Taylor Swift to the mix, and now he's gonna retire, and we will see more of Travis Kelce retired than as a player. I mean, it's kind of almost like to the Mannings, like where you can't escape Peyton and Eli Manning, and those guys have been retired for quite a few years now.
He already has that game show, Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? And, you know, could you not see him doing a variety show at some point, yeah, or a game another game show? ABC probably is just waiting to stick him in one of those redos. Like, you know, are they doing the Match Game? Let's pull out the Match Game and bring him in there. But yeah, so that is going to be one of the big Hallmark movies of this year, because they had the cooperation of the Kansas City Chiefs. They have people, I believe Donna Kelsey's in it as well, but they have a lot of tie-ins with that. And sure. It's the premise is they're looking for the super fan. Who is the greatest fan of all of this? And it was shot at the stadium. And it involves a lot of names, the coaches, whatever. You'll see a lot of people in that. And they also will be doing Hallmark ornaments tied into the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, this isn't a stretch because Hallmark is based in Kansas City. So it's like supporting the home team, basically. Yeah. But Tyler is in that. And Tyler is a Canadian who really knows nothing about football. He never grew up with football. He didn't really know what it was all about. So he had a crash course when he was making this movie. But that's his fifth movie of the year. So, you know,
cranking him out.
And this is a whole underworld, I think, that we don't pay attention to, where you go, who are those people? You know, and yeah, you can ask a relative, especially one who's like all into this. Do you know these people? Oh, yes. That one's been on how many movies? I love that person. They're wonderful. You know, that's how it is. So it's this whole undercurrent. There is also this miniseries called Mistletoe Murders. This is a new one for Hallmark, where it's a 6-part limited series where murders occur in this town. And the woman who solves them, Shades of Murder, She Wrote, runs a little gift shop, a Christmas gift shop. And they think that it was a cookie that poisoned somebody from her store. And so then she starts kind of slipping around and trying to figure out what was involved there. Sarah Drew, who was on Grey's Anatomy, is the one. She says, I love this. This is like the best. The best. It's so easy to do, but she says it's hot when you film these things in the summer. And I said, you've got a lot of dialogue you've got to get through. How do you do that? She says, it's all in her mind. So it's a voiceover. So I can sit with a piece of paper and just read it off there. I don't have to do like, well, and then so-and-so did this, and then that person did that. And so she has this kind of way of shortcuts that they can look for. And if you've known anything about Hallmark movies, certain set props show up in other Hallmark movies. Most are shot in Canada because it's cheaper to do them up there. They have kind of an area or a space where they can share, and they just redecorate it, maybe use the same trees, who knows, and then bring in the stars, and they do them very quickly. But they can tick these. They're almost like soap operas where they can tick them off very quickly.
I mean, look, this is their brand. I mean, I imagine, too, that in that murdery one that she runs the gift shop, I imagine there's like Hallmark ornaments on display, and you know
that cross promotional product placement stuff. It's rampant. And wouldn't you want a a darling little ornament that happened to be seen right. on. You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. Yeah.
But you can see it. This is their brand. This is what they do. They're known for these movies. They're targeting a certain audience. That audience is not me. So it's just, it might be my wife, but it's definitely not me.
You know, Terry, in the old days, it used to be they were selling cards.
Right.
Because you would say, oh, it's Mother's Day coming up. They're going to be a Hallmark show. Hallmark Hall of Fame will do some mother-related show. And then you'll see all the Mother's Day cards you could get or gifts. Now, because people don't send cards that much anymore, they've had to look for other ways to monetize these things. And that's where you get ornaments and you get figurines and you get, dishcloths, a whole bunch of stuff like that, that appeals to a different audience. So, I think they are leaning into all of this. And they were very smart to move their business model to a streaming service, because then they can control whatever it is they want. They don't have to worry about other advertisers kind of gumming things up. Couldn't you imagine you were doing this very kind of nice, homey movie, and then suddenly there's a political ad that's in the middle of it talking about how bad other people are? I think this is their way of controlling the narrative for their people. But I watch them. I've said this before. I'll start watching one, fall asleep, wake up in the next one, and I didn't realize that there's already a new film starting.
It is, you know, it's a fascinating type of product. It's the production, because you can kind of recycle the sets, you can bring in the cast members, and there's a lot of these that are out there. I mean, you mentioned like Candace Cameron Bure, her brother Kirk Cameron, who, you know, got famous on Growing Pains. He's made a whole career, a second career, of filming like Christian movies that
right.
you don't ever see them. But if you walk into a Hobby Lobby, there's like stacks of them on DVD sitting out by the checkout. So it's you look at like Bruce Willis before he had to retire. He was cranking out those movies every year, which I remember when I worked at a different paper. There was a reporter who did something from Cincinnati, and they found that like Bruce Willis, the bulk of the movies, they were actually funded. These ones that he was doing like 3, 4, 5 movies a year. They were largely funded by a Chinese film company, and they were filming a lot of them in Cincinnati. It made no sense whatsoever, but it was just, and there were these action movies. He would show up and do, you know, a couple days worth of stuff. It, you know, it would get his name in it, so it's like a Bruce Willis movie. But it wasn't, you know, he was just kind of there for the ride. And it was, yeah, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of these out there, and Hallmark has their niche, and they're cranking out the holiday movies.
And you know that it has some kind of legs when you look at Prime Video. It has like 20 holiday films coming. Hulu has at least 10. Disney, more than a dozen. Netflix, they all are leaning into this. Lifetime does a lot of these as well. So it is, 'tis the season, you know?
Yeah.
And to say that maybe those storylines are drying up, well, they're searching for Mr. Christmas. And this is like a Bachelor-like show where these guys all audition to be Mr. Christmas. Who can be more Christmassy than anybody else? You've seen the light fight shows too, where they decorate homes, and it's like, how Clark Griswold can you get? But with the Finding Mr. Christmas, it's cute. It's very funny. Jonathan Bennett is one of the hosts, and they have them do things like sawing logs and putting up Christmas trees and wearing lumberjack shirts and making cookies and all that kind of stuff to see how well they would be. And the prize is to be in a Hallmark movie. So
yeah,
maybe it tells you something about the level of the actor. I don't necessarily need to have too many skills, but if I look like a lumberjack, I might get a job. You know, I'm surprised they haven't taken the guy from the Jury Duty series, you know, that was so kind of likable, but was duped by all these people into believing that it was a real trial. I'm surprised he's not in a Hallmark movie. I would think he'd be perfect for this.
So So you have an interview, right? We've got some audio.
Yeah, Tyler Hines. Okay, so this is at, and first I'll preface this. Hallmark does the best parties ever. The best parties ever.
I have never
seen something like, we had one in a tent with chandeliers inside the tent. And it had china like you wouldn't believe. I mean, how many courses were we served? And how many wine courses were we served? Well, they introduced the actors from all their movies. I'll sit still for that as long as you serve me something to eat. And at the time, you know, they said, and now we have a big announcement. Next year, we are going to double our number of Christmas films. Oh, my God. The tent practically rose because they were so excited about the idea that there's more work. More work is coming their way. So Tyler Hines, now, if you'll find his face somewhere, if you look for it, because he's in these five movies now, The Groomsman, Three Wiser Men and a Boy, and the Kansas City film. And he is in a lot of these movies. I think he's maybe second for the most. And I got a chance to talk to him at a party. So if you hear some background noise, you'll understand. But I was just curious, how do you get into this kind of stuff and what keeps you in it and what do you get out of the whole thing? And by the way, are you sick of Christmas? So here's my interview with Tyler Hines.
Tell me about when you first, your first Hallmark movie, what was the role and what were they looking for?
The first one I did was It's Christmas Eve with Leanne Rimes. That was my very first one. And they had called me up like a few days prior to shooting, like maybe 3 days prior to shooting. It was very quick.
What did it say the character was? Like, what were they looking for? Do you remember the descriptions?
It was a straight offer. So they just sent me the script and said, are you willing to do this movie with Leanne Rimes? Here's the offer. And so I had my mother read the script because I was at dinner. They needed an answer immediately. And I said, look, Mom, do I sing in this movie? She was like, no. It's like, okay, how do you feel about the movie? Like, I love it. I said, okay, it's
kind of great.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's our audience. My mom loves these movies. She reads all the scripts I do, actually.
So did you think it would be one and done, or did you?
I didn't think about it, because, again, it was 2 days later. We were shooting, and I was working with a director named Tibor, who was a lovely gentleman, and he was very passionate about asking me to smile a lot in the movie, and I was enjoying that, and I was going, man, just try to like make this as good as, he's like, I want you to do more of these. And I said, I'm just trying to make a good one. Let's start there. And I don't know what this is, but we'll find out. And, you know, movie by movie, I started to understand what this was and the value of it and my place in it. And very, very grateful to have been invited and to be continued to be invited to these movies, because I really do love telling.
So for you as an actor, how do you make them different?
I play a lot of little games by myself that nobody knows about. I have all kinds of little things that keep it interesting for me. Like, I'll be watching certain movies while I'm making the movie that maybe, like, I'll go on, like, a Pacino kick, and I'll play with things.
You're thinking about him, and it's my Pacino
I know
approach.
This sounds odd, but in my own little way, I kind of have my own fun. I also try my best to figure out what this movie has to offer in terms of its tools and in terms of its value, and try to cater a character or a rhythm or something about it that's in service of that, but feels like it's going to be entertaining for me. And there's all kinds of little games I play with the audience who are familiar with the movies that I've done, as well.
Do they catch on? Do they say, oh, yeah, he's... Yeah,
they seem to notice things and appreciate the sort of fun. Because one of the things I love about these movies that seems unique to anywhere else is there's a continuous back and forth conversation that feels like it's happening.
Sure,
a series, you're on a series, you're telling a story, it's the same character. A movie, normally you make a movie, a year later that movie comes out, and then maybe you make another movie. The fact that I'm making multiple movies in a year and they're coming out throughout the year means that there's this continual conversation with the audience, the ones that are familiar with the movies, where I get to react to what they do and they react to what I do, which makes me react to what they do, and it's this continuous conversation.
How many have you done in a year?
Well, this year, in the last 4 months, I've made 5.
Wow.
So 5 movies in 4 months at the end of this month.
I know this is a dumb question to ask, but does it hinder you from getting other jobs? Do they think of you as, he's the Hallmark guy, so don't...
I think that that's really been a conversation. For me, I'm a Canadian. I'm a loyal person. I like to find where the value is, and if there's value there, and if there's a playground to play in, I'd like to keep my focus on that thing and try to do that thing as best as I can. The folks here at this network and the people that I make the movies with, as well as the people who watch and consume them, it's a very sincere dynamic. And this is a priority for me in my life.
Sure.
And so for me personally, I'm there are other things that I do outside the world of these Hallmark movies that are things that I make with artists who are up and comers, collaborators that would make something really original and out of left field. And those are a longer investment. But these are something that I can pour my heart and soul into that is creating an impact that seems to be a very positive one. And I'm very happy spending my time focusing on trying to get the most out of that and push that as far as I possibly can in terms of its effectiveness as a viewing experience,
sure,
as well as hopefully creating a more diverse experience in terms of what these movies normally do, which we're doing with the Groomsmen and Chiefs.
How are the fans then when they see you? And do they mention certain ones? Are there ones that come back all the time that they go, oh, I really loved you in...
Yes.
Yeah.
It Was Always You is one that seems to really resonate with people.
Because?
Aaron Krakow is an incredible actor, incredible person, incredible talent. And I was in the room when she was making everybody fall in love. She's an incredible person. So, yeah.
Okay, so then what are you like at Christmas time? Are you like, I've had too much Christmas, forget it.
I love Christmas.
Are you good at Christmas or not?
Well, how about this? I left my Christmas tree up.
It's working out.
Until somebody else took it down when I was gone. Like a month ago.
Well, you could have been ready for the next year.
I'm fully prepared to leave the Christmas tree up all year round.
It's a seasonal tree. Right?
I don't want to lose the magic of when it comes out, because there is something to that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when it leaves, it feels empty. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Would you be like any of those characters, though, in real life? Would you say, oh, yeah, I'm just like this guy? Or...
It's funny. I was thinking of that today. There is something about it, because that question does come up. Oh, I was thinking in the context of the Chiefs.
Yeah,
I was just at the ESPYs, and I'm being asked,
"You're probably looking for the hockey team." Would be your.
I don't even watch hockey.
Oh, you don't?
I mean, the thing.
Canadian
is,
card is pole.
I know, gone fully. I'm a skateboarder, so I grew up playing.
Dust the hand? Is that?
This is not how that happened. Unfortunately, yeah. I wish it was from skateboarding, but I couldn't afford a lot of organized sports when I was young. So football is out of the question. Hockey was out of the question. So I like sports. I'll get into sports. I do go to games. I play sports. I enjoy them.
Sure.
But I'm not like an avid fan of any sort of specific sport.
Or a team. I don't get the buy-in with that, you know?
Well, the thing is, I didn't either. And when you're asking me which character I relate to, I was thinking to myself, as I'm being asked these questions at the ESPYs, I'm going, my character in this movie is somebody who's not really necessarily passionate about the Chiefs.
Right.
Nor the holidays.
Right.
And here I am, a Canadian.
Representing.
Who didn't know the Chiefs. And since meeting all the folks at the Chiefs offices.
Sure.
Kansas City people. Some of the players. And I met the coach tonight. I've fallen in love with this team. And watching the Super Bowl this last season was...
So now you're all in.
Like heart palpitations. Like, I don't know why I'm so invested now. So I was like, this is kind
of
what my character goes through.
Please.
Yeah, totally. This is what my character does, right? And so this is maybe the first time that I feel like I have an answer to that question.
I have it too.
I'm like this character.
I'm this guy who didn't have anybody found it.
Exactly.
Right? Oh, that's so good. Congratulations. This is what a great run.
Yes.
You know? And if this is your legacy, it's a good legacy.
You know, there are worse things in life. My mother's very happy I make these movies, and if I could do anything in this world, it would be make her hot.
All right, Bruce, thanks for that interview. You know, there's a little bit of a reality show that I don't mind watching for Christmas. It comes every year, Holiday Baking Championship on the Food Network. You ever watch
Oh,
that?
yes. And I
That's
think they've
fun.
been doing some on the Great British Bake Off too,
Yeah.
where they do specific holiday themes. Now, I don't
Yeah.
know that eat some of that stuff that they'd make over there, but there you go.
Yeah.
Fruitcake, not gonna happen.
What I enjoy most about the Holiday Baking Championship, so it's hosted by Jesse Palmer, who is a former NFL quarterback. He was a backup for the New York Giants, so I'm pretty familiar with him as
Former
a Giants fan.
Bachelor host.
Former Bachelor host. Yep, that's his other thing. But it's Duff Goldman, who's, you know, the he makes all those fancy cakes. He's funny on it. It's kind of, and he's always poking fun at Nancy Fuller, who's another host on the show. And you know, they'll make somebody will inevitably make the cake and it's spiked with some sort of alcohol, and Duff will be like, "Oh, there you go, Nancy. Have an extra slice with all that rum in it." And she starts rolling over. And it's just you could tell that they're having a good time on the set. But these are things that it's like, oh yeah, spiced rum cake that I'll never eat anything this good. I mean, the best cakes I've ever had were probably sampling for my wedding, and that's about as, you know, now it's just whatever I can get out of the store,
Whoever will make a cake, I'll eat
whoever
it.
all you did, but it's definitely not going to be this good. But you know, what's your favorite holiday movie of all time?
Oh, I love The Christmas Story.
Okay, that's a fun one.
Yeah. And I do like I like watching Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
For some reason, there's, something there. And Home Alone is having new charms. It's fun
Yep.
to see that. But I hate It's a Wonderful Life.
I do
Hate.
too.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah, that thing I cannot stand. And I don't know if it's if it because it comes at a time when I'm grumpy, but it doesn't have an effect on me
That's a, I'm with you 10,000% on that
at
one. It's one that gets played every year at Christmas, and as soon as it comes on, I cannot switch the channel fast enough. It's just one of
all.
those movies which I cannot get into it. I know it's people love it and they're like, "Oh, it's the greatest Christmas movie of all." It is not. You know what the greatest Christmas movie of all time is? It stars Bruce Willis, who we just talked about. It's called Die Hard, all
Die
right?
Hard.
He saves the Christmas party at Nakatomi Plaza, okay? We will never forget. Never forget.
Well, the one we want to see is that Star Wars Christmas special,
I
which
haven't.
they and you have it?
I have a bootleg copy of it on
Oh,
VHS. Yes.
how bad is it?
It's so horrible. It is so bad.
I don't know.
You know, Carrie Fisher, before she died, was they asked her one time, like, "What do you think about it?" And she says she has a copy that she would put on at the, it's like if she had a party at her house and the party wouldn't end, and she would say, "I would put it on just to clear my house." That's how bad it is. Oh man, that
Oh,
thing is terrible. Terrible.
and I don't know that I ever saw it when it first came on. If you missed some of those things, you never got a second shot at it.
Right. Yeah.
But that's that kind of looming series or show that you
Yeah.
want to see.
I have it in the copy I have, because it was never really officially released. It is,
Right.
if you have it, it is like a bootleg. It's something that shouldn't be out there. And so it was somehow recorded, you know, I don't know if it was recorded with some rudimentary VHS or whatever of at the time. It's somehow, but it has all the commercials in it too. So it's
Oh,
like, you
wow.
know, like kids, like, "Hey kids, get the new Light Bright," that kind of thing. It's all these weird commercials from, you know, 1979, whenever it
Scanner.
came out. Yeah. It's just, it's wild. It
Was
is.
that the year that they couldn't get the toys out, so they sent you a certificate?
Might, yeah, right.
That thing, if you have that certificate, it's worth more than the toy
Yeah.
because people redeemed them right away. They were so
Of
mad.
course.
Can't you imagine you're at Christmas, you're opening up a box, and what is this? This isn't a toy. We can't play with a sheet of paper.
Right. It's a
Can we get
redemption certificate. Hey, kids, you got a redemption certificate.
Let's use that again this next year.
Yeah. You know, the other thing too, besides movies like Vacation, I love it. Christmas Vacation is such a great movie. Home Alone is fun. Die Hard, you know, wherever you fall on the Die Hard, it doesn't matter. But I also really, you know, like Charlie Brown Christmas is always fun, but those claymation kind of stop motion, I just absolutely adore them, because you think about the amount of time that must have gone into it to have to move, you know, Rudolph's little ear to make it wiggle, you know, and how many frames they're doing to do all that work. The hundreds and or even thousands of hours that went into making those back in the 60s is just incredible to me. And I love them. I think some of those are the best Christmas programs you could ever watch.
Yukon Cornelius. You know, they sold the little models or the puppets or whatever you would call that on an auction, and they went for thousands of dollars. So somebody out there actually has a Rudolph that was used in the movie. And just recently there was an auction of sales from How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Wow.
And they were up there, 10,000, 20,000, you know? So I guess the nostalgia market is one that you can't overlook, because if you remember it and it has a place in your heart, you want a piece of it.
Well, on that note, thank you again for listening, and we'll be back again next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened.